This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Had just the 31st sports equinox ever yesterday with games in all the major professional sports in this country. NFL, NBA, NHL, and of course, Major League Baseball last night. We talked about the Major League Baseball game. Woods, did you watch anything other than baseball?
No.
Paul, did you watch anything other than baseball?
I did.
You did?
I had the two monitors going. I had baseball and Monday Night Football.
All right. I also had the Monday Night Football game going on the second screen at work last night. Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the New York Giants. And a pretty amazing stat. Had not realized. If you are following trends, there was a couple of clear trends in the game last night. The Pittsburgh Steelers do not lose at home on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
When was the last time they lost, Woods?
I have this for you. They're 21-0. They have not lost a Monday Night Football game at home since 1992. I was a were juniors in high school.
Make it 22 in a row last night with the win. 26-18 over the New York Giants. Also, Daniel Jones does not win at night.
I've got Daniel Jones-led teams are 1-14 in primetime games.
Now 15.
0-7 on Monday night games. 0-8. And 0-5 against top five scoring defenses after week five of the season. I saw Trey Wingo tweet that. Then I saw BR Betting tweet that they have not, that the Steelers have not lost a Monday Night Football home game in over 30 years. So I went and put money on the Steelers.
Now they
would have been a funny story had I lost with all of that in my favor.
And they did have a chance to lose
in
the end. So the Steelers, it was 9-9. They got the punt return touchdown by Calvin Austin III, 73 yards.
Well,
which,
the backdoor cover was certainly in play because it was minus six.
Well, it was close. And then they got the touchdown, which could have easily been called back on a roughing the kicker penalty that was not called for whatever reason, and then Austin gets another touchdown. So the Steelers are up 16 on the Giants, and the Giants score a touchdown in the fourth quarter. So they're now down 10. They were down 14, and they went for two. So they were down 8, and they went for two instead of one. It's the new analytics play, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. When you're down 14 points in the fourth quarter and you score a touchdown, The new theory is go for two twice and you'll have about the same chance of getting, you know, at least one of them and tying the game. But if you happen to get the first one,
then you can win the game.
Then you can win the game just by kicking the extra point.
I think it's smart.
It didn't work for the Giants. They did not make it. It was a very poorly constructed.
Before they executed. Kick that extra point back, like, if they're going to move it back again in a couple of years, like, it's already not as easy as it was a couple of years ago. Like, you're probably got a good shot at getting the two-point conversion.
Getting one of them, you know,
so
at least.
It's about 50-50 on converting two. So if you know you're going to have two chances at two-point conversions, you expect in two chances to get 2 points. The thought is, though, if we happen to get the first one, then you kick the extra point on the second one, and all of a sudden it's a one-point win as opposed to going to overtime where you only have a 50-50 chance of winning that game. The problem is, like last night, when you have a really poorly executed two-point conversion, now you're chasing it. Now you know we need to score a touchdown and get the two-point conversion, or we don't even get to overtime in that game, which can be frustrating. I do believe if you have any confidence in your offense, in your two-point conversions, it is the smart play to go for the two twice and see if you can get that first one to put yourself in a better position to win the game later. Just doesn't look good. And I think that's the thing with analytics, whether it's football or baseball. When a team follows the analytics and it doesn't work out, it looks really bad.
It's very frustrating to fans.
Yep. It just feels like it wasn't smart, even though technically it was. You just can't play like, okay, I mean, if you play 10 straight games and you were down 14 every single time and you scored a touchdown, it would play out in the long run. Yes, of course, this is a better thing. We won 6 of those games because we went with the analytics strategy as opposed to only 5 of them. That's all you're really looking for is that tiny, tiny edge. But when it's just one, there's still a good chance it's not going to work out for you.
Yeah.
And that's always frustrating to fans. When you make that analytics play and it doesn't work out, it makes it seem like analytics are dumb and stupid and don't work because, well, in football, it may take years for you to get those 10 tries at the 14-point deficit coming back for it to actually make a difference. And the coach,
it's not like you're going to get it. It's not like you're going to get it more than likely 7-8 times in a season. So you're like, oh, we've got this plan. It doesn't come up all that often.
It doesn't make it
so
wrong.
So it does make it look dumb.
But in such a small sample size, it can not work for you. It can backfire. And then all of a sudden, it looks like analytics are dumb. And, you know, stop listening to the math geeks when they're telling you to do this. This is how football has been played forever. You're down 14. You kick the extra point to get within 7.
Sure.
Why would you go for 2 in a situation like that? And then you miss it like the Giants did. And you really look like you're foolish. When you're not being foolish, you're being smart. It just didn't work out the way you were hoping it to work out.
Yep, 100%.
So anyway, also saw that interesting situation where George Pickens had 2 touchdowns called back, including one on a play I'd never seen where he got 2 feet down in the end zone, but it was the same foot twice. He landed on his right foot, hopped, and landed on the right foot inbounds again, and then fell on his butt out of bounds, but the left foot never came back. They called it a touchdown originally. They had to reverse the call, knowing, well, you have to actually get 2 different feet down. It's not the same foot twice. It's 2 feet, but they have to be 2 different feet to score a touchdown.
Well, your beloved Lakers and the Sports Equinox lost to the Phoenix Suns. Sorry about that.
First road game, and you know, Phoenix with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, good team. LeBron only scored 11 in that game. Was not at his best. 3 of 14 shooting. Anthony Davis was good again. Austin Rivers was good again. Your Memphis Grizzlies, who you're high on.
Yeah, they lost.
They lost. Let's see. How about hockey? Anyone watch any hockey?
I did not watch any hockey either.
Last night.
I wish we had a squad here.
But, you know, your Sports Equinox did take place last night.
I placed a $10 Sports Equinox bet yesterday across the 4 majors at least. And I had the Maple Leafs in the NHL. They won.
They did, okay.
I did not watch a second, but I was following on the ESPN app.
Who did they play?
It's a great question. I'm glad you asked. They played, you know, that one team. Who's the team that's, you know, the Jets?
Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Are they still a team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just looked it up.
They weren't for a while, and then they came back and existed again.
I had Maple Leafs, and I had Anthony Davis over 26.5. He hit.
He got that.
I had George Pickens to receive a touchdown, who had not 1,
but neither
but
of them
2. Counted. Brought back, and then I had a Juan Soto home run that obviously did not.
That did not happen.
No,
not happen.
No.
The college basketball was not part of the Sports Equinox, but we do have the season getting underway, and we got tickets, chance to win tickets at least with Tacon Woods. If you want to call in now and be our contestant, 833-288-0973. A pair of tickets to San Diego State season opener at Viejas Arena next week. On the line, if you want to battle Woods in our daily musical trivia contest, 833-288-0973. That is moments away, so call right now because the lines are open and we need a contestant in the next minute or two. Coming up later on the program at 735, we're going to discuss some of the available free agents and names that could possibly be of interest to your San Diego Padres. Don't know what kind of money they have to spend this offseason or don't have to spend.
Which always makes it a really fun exercise.
Abraham in our chat just said, I read the Padres are cutting payroll down to 160. You didn't read that other than maybe like some fan on Reddit posting
Was it Jenna Tolles that tweeted that? Because Jenna Tolles tweeted last night that A.J. Preller is currently in Japan working on Roki Sasaki, which I don't know that that's the case.
That is one of the names on the list that we'll talk about at 735. But we don't know anything about what the Padres' payroll level is going to look like. And if you think you do, then your name is Eric Katsenda, Eric Grubner, or A.J. Preller. Those are the only people, I think, that really have an idea of maybe. And I'm not even sure they fully know what the Padres' payroll is going to look like next year, because the way they tend to operate is they look at opportunities and they look at costs and they go, is this opportunity worth the cost? And if they think it is, they'll go up. And if they don't think it is, they'll go, let's be a little more, you know, prudent and responsible this offseason. So I'm not even sure if they have a full idea of what the payroll is going to be. So pretty sure whoever Abraham is reading does not know what the payroll is going to be for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, and my guess is it's going to be higher than 160. Just the
almost impossible to get it down to 160.
You can do it if you want it to.
I mean, you would have to trade probably both Ethan Salas and Leodalis DeVries and attach them to a larger contract to get rid of some people.
Correct.
To get it down to 160.
Yeah, it'd be tough. Tough.
And if they did that, then you'd be putting the white flag up in the organization, which would be awesome, right? Seem like what they've been aiming and shooting for these last few years. I'd be surprised by that.
Correct.
All right, someone just called in, Paul. Yeah, we got it. All right, let's get to it. Let's play a little Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
All right, let's go with Izzy. Welcome, Izzy. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Izzy? I like your energy. Let's do this. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. You've got an opportunity, if you can beat or tie Woods in these five questions, to win, or at least qualify to win, and it's only this week, a pair of tickets to the Aztecs basketball season opener on November 6th, next Wednesday at Viejas Arena. One of our morning qualifiers will be selected at the end of the week for the tickets. And to give you a little bit of an advantage, I'll give you our three categories to choose from. We've got blank like blank, five song titles that feature phrases connected by the word like. We've got this for that, that is an all 2 second song category that has words connected by the word for in the middle. And we've got feeling the heat, and those are song titles and artists that have heat in their name. So, blank like blank, this for that, or feeling the heat, Izzy, what would you like to play?
Let's see. Let's go blank like blank.
Blank like blank. Okay, again, five song titles. They all feature phrases connected with the word like. So, kind of blank like blank. You have 60 yep. seconds. If you don't know an answer, yep. you can pass. Paulie's got the 2 second song queued up. You need to give me that song title and the artist to score the point there. Izzy, are you ready to play?
Ready to go.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. The category blank like blank. Good luck, Izzy. Let's take on Woods.
Rock You Like a Hurricane.
By
Scorpions.
Correct. Which legendary Scorpions. Song by Nirvana includes the name of a deodorant in the title?
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Correct. The Chainsmokers teamed up with Coldplay for which song to become?
Pass.
The phrase "Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future" is repeated in which 1976 hit for Steve Miller Band?
Steve Miller. Let's see. Into the future. Pass.
Which 2004 country hit for Tim McGraw?
Fly Like an Eagle.
Correct. Which 2004 country hit for Tim McGraw is about a man who receives a terminal diagnosis from his doctor?
Pass.
The Chainsmokers teamed up with Coldplay for which song that became one of the biggest hits of the year 2017?
You got me on that one. I don't know.
All right. Any idea on the Tim McGraw hit about a man who receives a terminal diagnosis from his doctor in the last few seconds?
Let's see. Miss You Like a Brother Dad.
No, but I think three is a decent score here. You got Rock You Like a Hurricane, The Scorpion, Smells Like Teen Spirit, and Fly Like an Eagle. Chainsmokers is Something Just Like This.
Woods, you won't get that one.
And Tim McGraw is Live Like You Were Dying. That's a maybe. I know country's not his wheelhouse, but that's a maybe.
I think he'll get the
Steve Miller other ones,
band.
He's definitely going to get the first one. We'll see. Doesn't get the category. Izzy's score is locked in. Fun game there. Let's see how Woods does. Put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Izzy.
It's Rock You Like a Hurricane, The Scorpions.
Correct. Which legendary song by Nirvana includes the name of a deodorant in the title?
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Correct. The Chainsmokers teamed up with Coldplay for which song that became one of the biggest hits of the year 2017?
Pass.
The phrase "Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future" is repeated in which 1976 hit for Steve Miller Band?
Fly Like an Eagle.
Correct. Which 2004 country hit for Tim McGraw is about a man who receives a terminal diagnosis from his doctor?
Oh God, I don't know. Go back to the other one.
The Chainsmokers teamed up with Coldplay for which song that became one of the biggest hits of the year 2017?
Is it? I don't know what the category is. Is it Sky Full of Stars?
It's not. Which 2004 country hit for Tim McGraw is about a man who receives a terminal diagnosis from his doctor?
My taint is swollen.
Mm, that's not good enough. Mm. And with a 3-3 score, Izzy, congratulations.
That's a tie.
You have tied, and you have put yourself into the drawing for the Aztecs tickets at the end of the week. Maybe the only one. Who knows? Congratulations, Izzy. So you did not get something just like this. And live like you were dying. Everything was connected. Rock you like a hurricane. Smells like teen spirit.
I went skydiving.
That's, that's
Rocky Mountain climbing.
I don't know that if I know
I
that
went
one.
2.7 seconds. Yeah, live like you were dying. Tim,
I think I've heard it, but I'm sure you
probably heard it.
Yeah.
But maybe the context clues might,
I had no
might
idea.
Give that
what
one
was the
away.
Coldplay one?
Something just like this. Chainsmokers and Coldplay.
Nope. All right, well, 3-3. That means I didn't lose.
You didn't lose,
still
though.
In the running for the tickets.
It's good news for everybody. You didn't lose. Izzy qualifies for the tickets. Izzy, stay on the line. Paulie will get your information during our break. Put you into the drawing for the Aztecs tickets. Congratulations.
It would be terminal if your taint was swollen, I think.
It's been a while since you've gotten a country one right. I'm not saying you never get them right, but it's usually the very older
it's the older
country ones, the Waylon Jennings.
Yeah, the Willie the Waylon. Yeah,
those are the ones you kind of get.
Yeah, it's more my jam these days.
But anything from like 2000 on in country?
Not anything.
We've been guessing your score before you come in.
Oh, yeah.
And we said he's going to get three. Probably not going to get the Chainsmokers. The country one,
maybe.
It's always a toss-up.
It was a maybe. That was a toss-up.
Yeah, toss-up. Got me. 3-3. Still in the running. Adam did say in the chat I could have the tickets if I sweep
now
the
you can't.
What do you mean?
Well, he's in the drawing now. Do you want to put your name in the drawing?
My name's now
Izzy,
in the drawing.
Izzy's
that's what I'm
Izzy's
saying.
He's the only one in the drawing.
No, I'm in the drawing
right
with
now,
Izzy
there
as well.
Izzy's until another
that's true.
Listener.
I think there Izzy's until
qualifies.
Someone else is qualified.
Interesting.
So. All right, Don't Do This is coming up next. We had a not great pregame performance yesterday.
That's tough, man.
That's tough. World Series.
Yeah.
Curious what Woods has to say about it.
Share a text from my dad.
Allergy related?
Is he allergic to Fat Joe?
That I got. Yes.
All right. We will do that when we come back after traffic on 97.3 The Fam.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, DDT, a couple of stories that make you shake your head. Got something good from the world of sports for you as well this morning. And talked about it yesterday, Woods, the statue unveiling of Dwayne Wade in Miami.
And it was
The reaction to it. I mean, bless Dwayne Wade. He is he went in full defense of the statue yesterday. And I kind of get it. I mean, you know, after reading what he said and the kind of the amount of work that went into the statue, I do feel bad for people and the criticism that it's getting for not really looking like Dwayne Wade at all. But Dwayne Wade's defense wasn't exactly the greatest either. He's, quote, if I wanted it to look like me, I'd just stand outside of the arena and y'all can take photos. Doesn't need to look like me. It's the artistic version of a moment that happened that we're trying to cement. And it was the moment when he jumped up on the scorer's table and shouted, "This is my house," in 2009 at the end of a game against the Chicago Bulls. So what about all the reaction from social media, Dwayne? He says, I care, but I don't. Social media world's about opinions. Everybody has an opinion. So then he talked about the fact that he actually put a lot of work into this. It wasn't just the sculptor. Says there are only a few organizations that have a statue outside. There's not even 15 players who played this game of basketball that have a statue outside. We have a statue outside. So for me to be the vessel that's used, to be the chosen one, I'm proud of it. I'm proud because we worked very, very, very hard to create an image that will stand for a long time and express what the Miami Heat, my family, and our fan base is about. And it said sculptors took about 800 hours of work to make the statue, and Wade was directly involved with the process.
Oh, my God.
And Wade had seen parts of it, including the face, along the way. Now, he did acknowledge, and he said he laughed, because, and I hadn't seen this before yesterday, but the people who said it looked more like actor Lawrence Fishburne.
It does.
It does. It actually is a really good statue of Lawrence Fishburne. just not Dwayne Wade.
Somebody put,
it's not supposed to look like him. It's an artistic version.
Okay.
Of him.
All right. Somebody put him in the Han Solo carbon, and I lost my mind. That face is the internet. It's fun for jokes.
Is he alive, Calrissian? Yes.
Yeah. Put him in there.
Carbonite.
Carbonite. Yep. Yeah. That's exactly one of my favorite Star Wars scenes of all time.
Absolutely. Empire Strikes Back.
When he Return of the
of
Jedi.
The Carbonite.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorites.
When Leia's dressed
the hands
up as
get
the
red, and he just
bounty hunter, and he falls.
He's freezing cold.
Has hibernation sickness. Yeah.
So good.
It's all twisted up.
Yeah.
Good moment.
Good moment.
And then Leia reveals that it's her.
Yes, correct.
Really good moment.
So the
spoiler alert movie from 1983.
So the Yankees countered the Ice Cube punch. That was a pretty cool moment the other night when Ice Cube came out of the bullpen and was doing today was a good day and just getting after it. And the whole of Dodger Stadium was way into it. You guys see the Ice Cube performance?
Yeah.
Thought it was awesome. That was great. Always been an Ice Cube fan.
We are
of the program.
Good Cube show here.
Friend of the program here on Ben and Woods. Well, the Yankees countered with Fat Joe, who is from the Bronx. Huge, huge Yankee fan. And he's got some hits out there, and people knew him. I don't know why there was such a difference in L.A. and such a difference in New York. I expected New York to be a little bit more raucous, but it didn't sound good. It did not sound nearly as good as Cube. We have a little audio for you, Fat Joe, last night.
I got 100 Redonics, brother, I'm from New York. I'm from New York. We're from the home of a terrorist. Yes, I'm from New York.
A little off-key, yeah? Francis Scott off key.
Sounds a little more like Big Bomba Class.
It was. He did sound a little like M.R.
Big Bomba Class before Boston and Ed.
M.R. should absolutely be doing that tonight at Yankee Stadium. I don't know his connection, but it was not good. It was not a good performance. It was kind of universally panned. Yankee fans, they were showing Yankee fans in the crowd, and some of them had their head kind of in their hands, like, I think you're really nervous anyway before that game. And then Fat Joe comes out. He's way off key. He's just screaming stuff into the mic. Hannah goes, why is he screaming? I go, I have no idea. The microphone actually amplifies your voice. So you don't necessarily have to scream into it. You can just rap your normal way. He looks good, though. Fat Joe is no longer Fat Joe. Just call him Joe. Joe the Rapper. But he looks good. He's lost a ton of weight.
BronxFatLoss.com.
Hey, how you doing? This is Vinny for BXFatLoss.com. I dropped 40 pounds. Can you believe it? Oh, my God. Oh, there he is.
I did Vinny. It with no exercise.
No
gabagool.
No malt plaster.
Some lasagna.
Lasagna. Poster. Oh, God. BronxFatLoss.com is so good. Hey, good morning. It's your old pal, Vinny. You like what you see? Yeah. Still ate gabagool. It's so good. So good. He looks good, man. He looks good.
Texted you guys yesterday. Had the Padres. You know, gotten a couple of hits, maybe scored a couple of runs, advanced to the World Series.
Right.
This is the theme. This is the You're going to have a musical act. Who do the Padres counter with? If you got Ice Cube, you had Fat Joe.
Tom DeLonge's
I saw the last time the Yankees were there, had the World Series in New York. I think they had Jay-Z and Alicia Keys because their Empire State of Mind song was out at the time. I was thinking, who the hell would have been San Diego's opening act?
Yeah, Jason Mraz would have been great. Steve Poltz, perhaps.
I mean,
POD.
Tom DeLonge gets a lot of the
Tim Flannery and the Lunatic.
Oh, I'm all in.
You'd have to get all of Blink-182.
Yeah, but one of them is a Dodger fan.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Oh, did you guys see Paul George last night?
Uh-huh.
Oh. I'm going to save that.
All right.
I'm going to save that for you guys. My dad texted me last night. He said, who in the world is this guy? And I go, It's Fat Joe. And he goes, it's terrible.
In this case, Dad, you are in fact correct.
I think you
nailed it. Was terrible.
I think you nailed it.
All right, finally, some doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
And I know that this person is not necessarily beloved by his fan base, but when you do something good, you should be hailed for it. Carolina Panthers owner David Tepper and his wife Nicole, in a move to help the Carolinas, which have still been devastated by the recent hurricanes, held a concert at Bank of America Stadium this weekend in Charlotte, had a couple of big country music acts, got 82,000 people to show up, and they are donating all the proceeds, which I believe is over like $22 to $24 million from the concert to hurricane relief in their communities of the Carolinas, which is a pretty cool thing to do, and you'd want to see more NFL owners, you know, help their communities like that. So even though Tepper is not considered one of the great owners in football, certainly with perhaps the worst team in the league right now, is doing something with his resources to help his community.
I like that.
That is worthy of a doo-doo this on a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Paul, you quickly, you had a Don't Do This moment when we left work yesterday. So Woods and I left, and then Paulie leaves a couple minutes later, and he texts us.
I was about 2 minutes behind you guys.
Yeah.
So we're on the sixth floor here at our Odyssey Studios. What happened to you, Paulie?
So, first of all, I should preface this with, even though it's 10:15-ish in the morning, like, there's never any traffic on those elevators.
No.
Whether
there might be people going up,
after show.
Going down.
We have three different elevators. Usually it's a straight shot all the way down to floor number one. Occasionally somebody will stop and I'll also have to go down. I get on it, the sixth floor here. It stops. It goes down past the fifth floor. It stops on the fourth floor. No problem. Girl gets on. She goes down to the third floor.
Oh, my God.
All right. Whatever. Doors close. She gets off. Doors close. Goes down. Stops on the second floor.
Oh,
at this
God.
Point, I go, what the F?
It shouldn't be that big of a deal. It's literally adding, you know, 25
right.
seconds to
nothing.
Your day. I would have been incensed for some reason, like irrationally
angry. Tell us
angry.
What you texted us back
I get,
about your special feeling that you have.
I get so mad. Like personal. It's like a personal
attack,
affront
yeah.
when I'm going down an elevator and it has to stop.
Yeah.
And I know that's not rational behavior. I also do that when a light changes in front of me from green to red. Like it saw me coming and it's like I get mad for some reason.
Diva.
I get mad
it's
about
diva.
Very little.
That's why.
Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, it's the diva in
Bro,
you.
Bro, when it went from the third floor to the second floor and stopped again.
Yeah! Somebody taking one flight down bugs me, or one flight up.
Yeah, it happened twice.
Yeah, if it's just one, just take the stairs.
Take the stairs.
Don't ever, no. One flight elevators should be banned.
For sure.
I'm pretty sure, the guy looked like... He definitely heard me through the elevator doors.
Go, what the F?
What the F? And I go, sorry, man.
All right, when we come back, list of top 45 baseball free agents and names the Padres may be connected to. One I'm surprised they weren't connected to, and one name that I hadn't even heard of that they were connected to as well. We'll get to all of those coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Benny, I do think we should preface this segment by we actually should have gone back last night and done fact-checking from a year ago for Jim Bowden's potential targets to see how many were actually accurate. My guess would be zero, one, maybe.
I don't know. He picks like five or six different teams for each guy, so I've got to imagine he hit on a few.
You think?
Yeah.
I always feel like, and especially when we do this as an exercise in the off season of, hey, who could we target? Have we ever gotten one right? Jerickson Profar. We all got Jerickson Profar.
Absolutely got Jerickson Profar.
100% got that right. We had him penciled in on day one before the ink was dry.
But you're right. The best way to approach a Padres off season with A.J. Preller as general manager is... Expect the unexpected.
Correct.
You're probably going to end up being surprised by most of the moves. So, yes, this is simply a framework to kind of get us started. This is not a final exam. This is the first, you know, crib sheet in a long study process that we've got that is the 2024-2025 offseason coming up. But I do have a list of the top 45 free agents as compiled by a former general manager. And I do believe the list is fairly accurate in terms of guys that will be pursued and signed.
He got this that part off-season. Right.
So he got that part right, at least. And the Padres were mentioned on a few of the players, and I want to talk about some of them coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So as you'd expect, Woods, any ranking of free agents this offseason done by anyone who knows anything about baseball has to start with one person, and one person only.
Juan Soto.
And that is Juan Soto, who is the top free agent on the market. That's where Jim Bowden starts. Obviously, he mentions the Yankees and the Mets. He also threw in the Blue Jays as potential fits. He predicted a contract of 15 years, $622 million.
Remember when people said Juan Soto was the biggest dummy alive for turning down $440 million from the Nationals? And what are they projecting?
15 years, $622 million.
Imagine leaving $200 million on the table. 180, whatever.
He has reached the finish line. Assuming he doesn't suffer a career-ending injury tonight, he has reached the finish line of a journey that has proven him and his agent, Scott Boras, pretty wise in terms of maximizing his value.
440. When those numbers came out, he was here when they came out that he turned that down. And everyone on the planet was like, you're a moron. You're an absolute moron. How do you turn down generational wealth like that? And he said, all right, well, got one more in me, and let's see what can happen. He raised his profile by $180 million-ish. You know, we'll see how it all pans out, but holy smokes.
Second on the list is Corbin Burns, a pitcher who spent this last season with the Orioles. Bowden has the Mets, Dodgers, Red Sox, and Orioles. His best team fits and projects a contract of 7 years, $247 million. No mention of the Padres there. Now, it's the third one, Roki Sasaki, who, again, he acknowledges. It's unclear if he's even coming over to the U.S., but if he does, he will be one of the premium guys, but he can't get a big contract. He'd get a minor league deal only in international signing money. He does not mention the Padres as a fit. He has the Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, Diamondbacks, and Red Sox as his five potential fits. I think that's an error. I think the Padres are absolutely in the upper echelon of teams that Roki Sasaki would consider if he was coming over.
And the Cubs should be in there as well. Just read a piece that they have sent numerous scouts. And again, I mean, look, for international signing money, guys, 30 teams should be in on him. I don't know what everybody holds international signing money-wise. I don't know what they've
got.
You
certainly at least make the call.
Yeah, I mean, but there should be, let's say conservatively, 25 teams are probably in on Roki Sasaki.
So we know the Padres need pitching, and there are a number of other pitchers in his top 10 and 15, including Max Fried, Blake Snell, who is number 8 on his list, Freddie Peralta, who is number 9 on his list. But none of them are, at least in his mind, attached to the Padres. In fact, the first name that he has attached to the San Diego Padres is his number 15 free agent, and it is a guy coming off a major injury.
Oh, good.
Shane Bieber, who is a really good pitcher and had his Tommy John surgery, probably will not be available to pitch for the first at least couple of months of the season.
Sounds
as he
like a Padre already.
His recovery, but as the state of the art and the medical, recovery process has gotten better, Shane Bieber is a really, really good pitcher. He won the Cy Young in 2020, finished fourth in 2019, seventh in 2022, two-time All-Star. He's a Gold Glove winner. I mean, he is someone who you might be able to get on a bargain deal because of the injury, and would potentially, if you think you're a contender, be someone who'd be pitching big games for you down the stretch and in the postseason.
And has some experience with our pitching coach, if our pitching coach ends up staying.
Correct. Ruben Niebla worked with Shane Bieber extensively in the Guardians organization. So Padres mentioned, Guardians mentioned, Rangers and Dodgers, who are on the list for a lot of these guys, were mentioned in that one as well.
Jay in the chat says, Justin Bieber's fastball is greater than Shane Bieber's. Maybe right now as it stands today, Jay. But I think given a little time to heal, I think Shane Bieber can still be an effective pitcher at the big league level. I don't think he's done yet.
So the next player...
I'll take him over Justin Bieber.
I'll take him over Justin Bieber. I will say that.
The next player attached to the Padres is the one that I went, oh, don't really know much or anything about this guy. At number 18, Bowden has Tomoyuki Sugano, who's a right-handed pitcher. The other pitcher that could be coming over from Japan in this offseason.
We talked to Kyle Glazer about him.
Benny was out.
Was that the day that he was out?
Okay. We had Kyle Glazer in studio, and
he did some scouting on him.
Put together a story on Sugano like the day, a couple of days before that story came out that he was potentially coming over to Major League Baseball. And what I remember, Kyle said he's nasty.
He's pretty nasty. He's a little longer in the tooth.
Two-time winner of the Sawamura Award, which is the Japanese equivalent to the Cy Young Award. Yeah, he's 35. But he had a 1.67 ERA this year in NPB, which is outstanding.
Well, he's coming. He's coming to the big leagues.
All right. And according to Bowden, he has the Padres listed first on best team fits, along with Rangers, Dodgers, Orioles, Guardians, and Mets on his list for potential pitchers. So that one, and I'm glad Kyle Glazer had that for you earlier, is one that definitely to keep your kind of eyes open about this offseason. If he comes over. But he'd be posted, and you'd have to, you know, he'd be a real free agent, not the Roki Sasaki international signing.
Correct.
You know, after that, you know, more pitchers. Nathan Eovaldi at number 20.
I think he's going to be pricey.
He only predicts 2 years, 42 with a team option.
Pricey.
I mean, yeah.
it's pricey.
Free agents are pricey.
They are.
There really aren't a lot of bargains or discounts on this list. Even if you go all the way to number 45, you don't see a ton of bargains and discounts. But the other two pitchers mentioned were Nick Martinez at number 32 with the Padres.
Okay.
Reunion, potentially. And then at number 44, and I didn't hate this idea. In fact, of all the ones that he mentioned, he felt almost the most Padre-ish of all. Matthew Boyd, who we saw with the Guardians in the postseason.
That's really good.
He is going to hit free agency, and he is one of the guys mentioned. Padres projects a salary of just a one-year, $10 million kind of deal. Now, he had a really good postseason, 0.77 ERA over three starts.
Nasty.
Wasn't quite as good during the regular season, but he also is coming off Tommy John surgery from 2023. Looks pretty healthy, and seems if you can get like that kind of deal for a Matthew Boyd, that seems like someone that AJ would definitely be kicking the tires on this offseason.
Yeah, I don't think there's too many guys he's not going to be kicking the tires on. You're going to need a couple of those, and not even like reclamation projects from free agency. You're going to need some of those guys that get off of everybody's radar, you know. And there's still guys in the system that are going to get looks. You know, people are putting in the chat, Waldron. Is still going to get a look, I think, in spring training. There's talk about converting Morejon, but I don't know. I feel like you finally found your lane for Adrian Morejon. I do. I feel like you finally got that, and especially if you lose a Tanner Scott, maybe Morejon can fill that void.
Like a Brian Hoeing.
See, that's another one. He's pretty good in his role right now, and you do need that swing man, and he can do that and spot start if you need it, and that's a valuable role. I think
is it easier to convert somebody that you have, though, to a starter and go get a reliever, or go get a starter and keep them in?
I think it's probably easier.
It's cheaper to convert somebody you already have
to
a starter
easier,
and
I mean,
go get a reliever.
For AJ Preller. Yes.
Sean Reynolds, maybe. But, you know, again, I don't know that it's... It's tough for me to look at what I saw from Sean Reynolds and be like, oh yeah, he profiles to give you, you know, 180 innings. I'm just not sure. And with Morejon, why take an oft-injured guy and be like, hey, let's give you a bigger workload right now and put you in the, you know, the number four slot in the rotation?
Again, we know nothing. We'll probably end up being surprised. Remember, Kevin Acey did write of the very few things that he kind of projected that the Padres were going after at least like two pitchers from outside the organization.
So, Boyd, you got me pretty excited about Boyd.
Boyd would
left-hander,
be...
Left-hander, yeah.
Yeah, left-hander.
Left-hander, which we desperately need, I think. That would be fairly interesting.
Now, also of note, Bowden did not connect the Padres with any offensive free agents other than their own two, Jurickson Profar and Ha-Sung Kim, which felt almost, you know, automatic and perfunctory, but not a single player who is from another organization did he have as a good fit for the San Diego Padres. And it didn't surprise me. I don't feel like the Padres are going to be super aggressive in adding position players this offseason. They almost have too many to begin with when it comes to, you know, where are you going to play everybody and finding anyone. If there is a change, it would probably be via a trade rather than signing another major free agent offensive player this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, you can't have too much offense. And what failed us really at the end in 24 innings was our offense, certainly. So I think that probably clouds my judgment a little bit, too. Of like, no, get some guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. Anthony Santander is a name that I've seen a few people mention that they'd be interested in. He's got a lot of power.
After Soto, it's Pete Alonso at number 6. Alex Bregman doesn't really seem to fit with the Padres. At number 7, it's not as heavy on position players. Then Santander, Willy Adames, another shortstop. I mean, there's not a lot of easy fits, I would say, with the free agent class and the Padres. Christian Walker at first base could be maybe a dark horse kind of guy that the Padres could use a good first baseman.
So we're not in on Uncle Pete Alonso.
Not according to Jim Bowden.
Yeah, I think that's probably.
If you were going to sign a first baseman, I would say Christian Walker would probably be more of your target than necessarily a premium piece in Pete Alonso. You might get as much production, who knows, out of Christian Walker next season. I think the risk of signing Pete Alonso is pretty high for the price you're going to get and the consistency you might not get. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I mean, obviously, Pete Alonso is a 40 home run a year guy, and how does that play at Petco Park? I'm not sure, but I would not mind seeing him in the four hole for this team next season. But it's going to be an exorbitant amount of money. He's also a Boris guy, so I'd probably pass. And Goldschmidt's out there. I don't know how much he's got left in the tank. Maybe something to prove. You do get the sense with a guy like Paul Goldschmidt. There may be a little bit more in there, and they did not. You know that he's done in St. Louis. Arenado's going to be done in St. Louis. I would not mind Benny adding a bat, but it can't be some insane, you know, $13-14 million 7-year deal, $13-14 million per. It just can't for another aged guy in the infield.
Walker Buehler is an interesting name.
Well,
here.
He's priced himself out of the Padres,
I mean,
right now.
-1.3 WAR this year.
Crazy.
I mean, was going to get very little, like an incentive laden, probably come back with the Dodgers deal, and all of a sudden he has pitched in just 3 starts. He's pitched his way back into being a potential premium free agent,
yeah,
almost.
Yeah, into where, like, if you're the Dodgers, are you like, can we afford to let this guy go?
It's an interesting turnaround just in the matter of a couple of weeks on him as well. So those are some of the names available. It's going to be a long offseason, though, and that is simply the preface, step one. All right, we'll come back. 2 more hours of Ben and Woods. We'll reset when we return on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.